Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Patricia Joy Xavier will be joining me in about 30 minutes on this Watchman broadcast. It is time to revisit an issue that had been discussed in mass for many, many years, but I believe that we need to talk about it again right now. Forgive me for my throat here this morning. I have an article that I want to share with you. And it's titled, The Cashless Society. The Cashless Society. In a sign of the times, Hasbro has released a new cashless version of its classic board game, Monopoly. Now, anybody that grew up in our generation knows Monopoly, right? It's designed for the digital age. In Hasbro's latest edition of Monopoly, gone are the paper money and community chest cards. Instead, the board game now comes with a voice-controlled artificial intelligence device shaped like a top hat to help control the digital transactions. Countries from around the world have been eager to implement a cashless society, but none have moved as fast as Sweden. Notes and coins make up less than 1% of Sweden's economy, which is ironic considering it was the first European country to issue modern banknotes in 1661. Now, think about that. 1661, the first European country to issue modern banknotes. Now I quote, no cash accepted, end of quote, signs are now the norm in shops across Sweden as payments go digital and mobile, but many Swedes want to take it to the next level as they blend tech with the human body. Microchip implants that give people the ability to conduct financial transactions, monitor their health, and even replace key cards to allow them to enter offices and buildings are the new rage, as thousands have already been implanted. Many experts believe this is the next logical step in a digital society that is quite happy to give up privacy for convenience. And I want you to remember that word convenience. We've talked about conveniences this last 2 weeks, how we are so familiar with the convenience of flipping on a light switch or pushing a button on the microwave and getting our coffee heated up for 30 seconds or 2 minutes. And we just, there are so many conveniences. Now, here in Sweden, the experts believe that this is the next logical step in a digital society that is quite happy to give up privacy for convenience. Cash is one of the last vestiges of anonymity, but with every transaction digital, there is a record that is being logged, analyzed, and stored potentially forever. So think about the last scraps, if you will, of using cash, the last notes, the last dollars, whatever they use over in Sweden, and it's coming to an end, and every transaction that is made from buying a bottle of water in a machine or going to a Coke machine and buying a can of Coke or going to the gas station or going to the grocery store or paying a bill online, all right, every single time there is a digital transaction, that digital transaction is witnessed by a third party that is watching. So this is how they gain the algorithms, as we understand it, the algorithms of a particular person's buying habits, where they go, what they do. This is all the algorithm, and it's been extremely successful, very, very successful. But let's continue on in this articles, in this article, realizing the danger of such a cashless society, Sweden's Civil Contingencies Agency has issued a guidance warning to every household. I got Mark's, Max is contending with me over here. I guess he saw a squirrel out the window, and I'm contending with my voice, but we're going to get there in just a few minutes. I'd love to say Max is an amazing watchdog, and he is. He really is. I think my friend just gave him CBD cookie snacks. You know, the new CBD oil. Well, Max just ate one this morning, and I think he's got his vim and vigor back. That's what's going on. So let me go back to this. Realizing the danger of such a cashless society, Sweden's Civil Contingencies Agency has issued a guidance warning to every household telling residents to stockpile cash in small denominations for use in emergencies such as power failures, hackers, or even a cyber war, which could disable the digital economy. In such a crisis, the economy would literally go back to the dark ages overnight as people would be forced to barter with no means of cash. So think about it. It's already here in our country, but note that this is so far advanced in other nations where a lot of people today are transacting business with their card. And their card, whether it be a debit card, a credit card, it simply takes money out of your bank account through that digital transaction. Well, the least amount of cash there is in a person's vicinity, and if something goes wrong, if there's the bank goes down or whatever the case may be, well, if there's no cash to use, okay, if you don't have access to cash, you may lose everything. But watch this. This is where it gets a little bit stranger, and we were talking about this last night. If there is a failure in the banking system or cyber war, which could disable the digital economy. So bartering, people would be forced to barter with no means of cash. And we talked about a bartering system last night at our Bible study, but let me continue. Last year, a systems issue prevented customers from the CIBC, one of Canada's largest banks, from accessing their bank accounts for an entire business day. The sentiments of normally patient Canadians were tense. Imagine if it had been longer. How long would you be able to survive without your credit or debit cards? It served as a reminder to Canadians and everyone else who rely on everything digital how vulnerable
We all are. Our vulnerabilities to the cashless society are not only technical, but political as well. Now, before I move into that part of the article, last night in our Bible study, once again, a gentleman shared with us, and I remember taking this a couple of years ago about the EMP, the electromagnetic pulse, or, you know, I spent an entire week sharing out of one of the best written books ever on EMP and the detailed problems. And I was reminded last night by a brother that the squirrel that got into one of the transformers many years ago and wiped out the entire electric grid in New York. And that's where we saw the images of the New Yorkers walking across bridges and so on and so forth. It was a tough time. And why did that happen? Because a squirrel got into it. Okay, that's how vulnerable the entire country, and obviously around the world, but let's just focus on America. We are so vulnerable with our transformers, with our electrical grid, that a squirrel was able to get in there and cause great dysfunction. We also know about the men in California that I think three men took high-powered rifles and shot at a transformer and shut things down. I mean, obviously, you and I know that we are walking on eggshells when it comes to the electrical grid. And anytime any superpower wants to control the masses within this nation and reduce the population, all they have to do is pull the plug. All they have to do to create anarchy in one day in this country, shut down the electrical grid. Keep it off for 30 days. After 30 days, the superpower government will have anything it wants. It will do anything it wants. All it needs to do is allow the purge to take place within the nation by simply turning off the electricity. Let the people go mad. Watch what happens in 30 days with no power in general, especially in the inner cities, right? Well, again, our vulnerabilities to the cashless society are not only technical, but they're political as well. Facebook, in partnership with major banks, payment processors, and e-commerce companies, has announced plans to launch a digital currency called the Libra, L-I-B-R-A. Unlike decentralized, free-floating cryptocurrencies, Libra will be tied to national fiat currencies, integrated into the financial system, and centrally managed. Critics warn Libra is akin to a spy coin. Many of the companies involved in Libra, including Facebook itself, routinely ban users on the basis of their political views. Big tech has booted scores of individuals and groups off social platforms for engaging in quote-unquote hate speech. If Libra one day becomes the predominant online payment method, then political dissidents could effectively be banned from all e-commerce. A lesson from the past is the Bush administration's attack on the credit card processors of pornography sites more than a decade ago. While we might applaud the effort to shut down pornography sites, the financial targeting set a precedent as New York's comptroller, Thomas DiNapoli, appealed in a letter to major banks and credit card companies to block all transactions associated with firearms. So in other words, you do it in one area, it could be used in another. Well, the efforts failed, but we have seen recent attempts in a similar way with MasterCard and Visa being pressured to deny service to those that promote hate, or put another way, Christian and conservative businesses that don't act politically correct. So in the past, if credit cards and banks refused transactions involving something they disagreed with in an individual, they could simply pay in cash. But once physical currency has been eliminated, such purchases will require the permission of both corporations and government. A mark to a government ruler in your right hand that controls your ability to buy or sell based on your political religious loyalty is exactly what is described in the book of Revelation and is often referred to as the mark of the beast. So those who like to dismiss the book of Revelation as mere allegory may want to take another look. The technology described in Revelation is already here, and the next step is taking place before our eyes as the masses are being conditioned to accept its spread. Slowly but surely, we are also seeing our ability to conduct commerce becoming linked with our political religious views. Are we prepared for what will happen next? Now, the reason for reading this particular article about the cashless society is because it does tie into what we've been talking about in more of an urgent way. We're not running around saying the sky is falling. What we're saying is that there is a construct being built all around the world, an undeniable construct that will eventually lead the masses, because the majority of people today love their convenience. Very few are going to resist the convenient methods of doing transactions digitally. Now, we know that India has climbed up out of the pit, so to speak, and has been brought online, which again, Joanne Vian's book, the United Nations Global Straitjacket, where she went to over 30 different UN meetings before she died, pretty abruptly because of breast cancer in 2010, I think it was. Well, she had documented the main theme that everybody talks about today. Her understanding was that the whole project of the United Nations was to interconnect all the nations of the earth. That Y2K was a test run that was used to get electronic connectedness to third world countries. And because of the whole Y2K thing, that all these lesser countries were brought online. And today in India, people are now en masse having bank accounts, and they're moving digitally. But again, the purpose of that is to control the transactions of the people everywhere around the world. And this is going on in many different places, and people love it so. I mean, a generation ago, did you have a credit card? I remember just going back, maybe 30 years ago, I had no credit card. I didn't even, I thought that was for, different sorts of people to have credit cards, and I never had one. Today, people everywhere have credit cards. And again, the thought is, what happens when cash doesn't exist anymore? And we have a tendency to say in our country, well, that'll never happen. The dollar is strong. We're the wealthiest economy in the world. But again, the sword of the Lord is unsheathed against the treasuries of Babylon. And Babylon's desire is control. The masses, one world government, one world leader, hierarchy of governors, et cetera, et cetera. So what better way to control the masses than to take away cash transactions, make it illegal, ban all currencies like India just did about a year ago? They took their high-powered notes and they disbanded them. And people were rushing to the banks trying to get something out of it, some kind of a transaction for their, say, $100 note. Well, they needed to get something, and the long lines and the people were just subjugated to loss overnight. And so if Babylon's power is rising, and we know it is, then we also should understand that to operate within Babylon, it's going to be on her terms. That means that the ecclesia, the church, the people that are awakened right now need to begin to prepare to barter. What does that mean? Well, a dear friend of ours spoke last night at our Bible study again when she and her husband were in Africa. They were doing all kinds of work. She was not born again Christian at the time, but they were doing a lot of neat things and helping, the less fortunate people in those areas. That was their job mission, and they loved it. And the government had such a control that they depended on the black market. And for them, they wanted a bottle of liquor, they wanted vodka, then the black marketeers would go to the Russian embassies in those areas and rob some of the liquor from those embassies and then sell it on the black market. So if they ever wanted something, they would do business with these people. And that was a very strong and very powerful way of getting things. But it wasn't just because I didn't have any cash. It was because, you know, the government wasn't allowing the sale of those things. Well, for us today, it's not going to just be, well, I want something that the government won't sell. It is going to be more intensified in the sense that if I'm going to need medical supplies and I can't purchase medical supplies, where am I going to get the medical supplies from? Now, the first line of defense is to have a relationship with the great healer, right? I mean, obviously, to lay hands like Jesus did when the ear of a man was cut off in the garden when they came to arrest Jesus. Peter took his sword and cut the man's ear off. Jesus picked up the ear and put it back on his head. Now, that is something I want to be a part of, and I'm sure you do too. That's the kingdom of God. Those are the works of Jesus. The works that I do, so shall you do, and even greater works than these. However, is it wrong to have a backup plan? Should there be medical supplies around your house? Should there be medical supplies within the community of believers that will exist? Well, God took care of their food, right? He gave them manna from heaven. He gave them quail when they wanted it, when their hearts lusted for meat. God was able to give them water out of a rock, so the supernatural supply was there. But also there were times when God led them to springs of water and where they would take their cattle, they would cook their food. So to have food and water does not deny the supernatural power of God. To have medical supplies does not deny the supernatural power of the healing that God can perform. And so it is with everything else. God is a supernatural defender over his people, but it did not deny the right for them to carry a sword when they were going to have to go to battle. I mean, God wiped out 180,000 Philistines with one knockout punch without anybody helping. But at the same time, God tells that same country, that same nation, go in and make war and do what you got to do with the weapons that you have. And so my point is, while our first line of defense to what is coming down the pike is the supernatural ability of God, but how many people are operating in the supernatural ability of God right now? I mean, how many people have relationship with the God of the supernatural that they've already been walking this out and practicing and rehearsing this, that, you know, they've turned their electricity off for 30 days and watched God do supernatural miracles in their lives? How many people have been put to the test there? Very few, I would imagine. Very few people have allowed their electricity to go off for 7 days and said, I'm not going to budge out of my house or my where I live for 7 days. We're not going to budge. We're going to live without electricity. And if your water flows because of electricity, there's no flowing water. How would you survive for 7 days? What a great test, right? All right. So very few people have done that. And yet we all talk about a supernatural God intervening on the behalf of his people. And I believe that that will happen again, exactly the way it happened in the wilderness with Israel. There's no doubt about that. However, we should be diligent, like Noah was diligent, to prepare. Now, if the currency, if the economy is going to be under the control, and I would remind everyone today, please, and I don't know why, I just feel this very strongly in my spirit, to go back to Genesis chapter 2 and remember the systems that God gave to man. Okay, when God created man, he gave him systems to live by. And I'm going to just read them, and I'm going to start in verse 8 in Genesis chapter 2. Remember, this is what God gave to Adam. And it says in verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So the very first thing that God gave to Adam, mankind, was a garden where food was planted. So the first supply to man's existence is food. And it says there was also the tree of life and the tree of the in the midst of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In verse 10, and that's very important, but we're talking about systems here. And the first thing that God gives to man to live is food. Verse 10 says, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. So the next thing we see in the supply of man is water. And then it names all of the rivers. But in the first river, the first was Pison, that is it, which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is delium and the onyx stone. So the third thing we see is an economy. The gold, the onyx, the delium. So we have food, water, and economy. And then as we go on down to verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. We have a labor force. So now that there's labor is number four. And the Lord God in verse 16 commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So number five is the commandments of God, the law of God. And then we go on down and we read the rest about the family. But my point is this. These are systems that God gave to man for his well-being. And as long as Adam had rule and authority and dominion over these, everything worked well for himself and everyone connected to him. But since the sin of Adam, the fall of Adam, the Diablo has taken control of these things and has used them to control the masses. In these last days, we should not expect anything less than global world powers to control the food supply, to control the water supply, to control the economy, to control the labor force, to control the laws, and all the other systems that are known to man, transportation and everything else. And when these systems, these basic, fundamental, elementary systems are under the control of an oligarchy of elites who have no desire to honor God or to take care of the masses genuinely. They all claim we want to take care of people in their health insurance and we want to take care of people. It's all a facade. People want to take care of themselves, number one. Okay, but everything in this earth was created by God and it was for the good of man. God gave it to man, but man lost his authority, and unrighteous men have taken positions of power, and we're going to see that. You see, that's what the tribulation, in my understanding of it, is all about. It is about unrighteous, wicked, evil people under the Luciferian mindset taking control over all the systems of the world. And what happens? Well, there are 10 major corporations that control the entire global food supply. 10. And I'm going to talk about that tomorrow, about who those 10 corporations are. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper into who's controlling the food, who's controlling the water. And this is why God says that you and I should be preparing. And yes, there's a supernatural God that can supply us economy. He can supply us food. He can supply us water. He can supply us everything. We can live by his law. We can do it. We can live by these systems. But the Lord also tells us to go out there, get a land, plant a garden, get some food, dig a well, have some water supply, you know, get what is necessary for backup power. If you can't do it by hand in a, you know, you could basically hand pump water at about 300 feet, the deepest. So if you have a well, and a lot of wells at 60 feet, people get water. And as long as you could get water out of the earth, you're going to be doing okay. But in the case where your water is a lot deeper than that, but it's a lot cleaner and fresher, you know, you have to have some kind of electrical supply to keep that pump running and that electricity going. And this is where the acumen and the intelligence and the skill sets of some people that know how to do these things should be the ones gathering together to make things work. Okay, what we've done in Northwest Arkansas is simply a microcosm to what I believe is going on around the world amongst God's people that are taking the call seriously and heeding the call of prepare now for what I'm showing you is coming. And that's what radio broadcasts like these and many others have been doing. If they're genuinely from the heart of God and they're not just promoting drama or, you know, something out of their own imagination, but from the Word of God, the unveiling of the Word, the potency of the Word, the reality of the Word is going forth. Well, that is for the purpose of awakening people to prepare. God awakened Noah. He told Noah what he was going to do, and he told him how to prepare. He was mocked, ridiculed, and scoffed at for a long time, and unfortunately, a lot of people didn't get saved during his preaching years either, and only 8 people got into that ark and survived the Holocaust of their generation. Well, we know that it'll be like the days of Noah again, like the days of Lot again. We know what's coming down the pike. We know there is the great tribulation that has never been before and will never be again coming upon us. We're Christians. We're not ashamed of this knowledge. We're not afraid of it. We're not trying to save our lives on this earth, but God is warning us, revealing to us how to go through these times, because somebody is going to be alive and remaining at the second coming of the Lord. And we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The resurrection of the dead that are going to die and have died are going to take place first. I mean, God's got a glorious plan for the future, but we're told that during the Great Tribulation, the majority of people are going to fall away because they're not prepared to handle the level of persecution or the pressure of having to eat, drink, because they never prepared. And they just expected to be raptured out of here, and they just expected that somebody else was going to take care of them. So they did nothing to prepare. That's the majority of the people. And now comes the persecution. Now you can't buy or sell. Now there's a mark of the beast. You think people that are unprepared and are unwilling to hear that message right now are going to be able to face what's coming? I don't think so. They have closed their ears and their eyes for so long, they don't want to hear it. But it is coming. It is knocking at the door. It is blowing the doors down. To help me in this conversation right now is Patricia Joy Xavier. Good morning, Patricia. How are you today?
Well, I am doing beautifully today, for this is a day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And it, one more day to get it right.
Yeah, again, one more day to get it right. You have some notes before you. Before we open the lines, because I was talking with a brother the other day who wanted to share something.
Yes.
And we didn't catch his call, so I want to bring that up. But what is your thought right now? You have a note there.
Well, I do. I want to come back to the foundation of everything we're going through. And that is that we are talking about the operation of the evil one. It is Satan himself, Lucifer, that is in control, or trying to be in total control and operating through evil people to achieve his ability to have us under him for eternity. And this is what we're really fighting. This is the basis of it all. And did you notice lately articles and news about the cashless payments that you're talking about? They're growing more and more and more. We're becoming more aware of it all the time. And you did mention this, that Sweden and Denmark are being mentioned as advanced societies where paper money is all but abolished and kicked out of everyday life. Did you get that too? And there's not just Denmark, it's Sweden also.
And look at the conditioning going on right here in our own country. The majority of people transact business by their credit cards or their debit cards.
Absolutely. I mean, almost everybody I know does not use cash.
Now, Patricia, you and I would agree that there are a few things that have to happen to accelerate this rapid advancement into the digital society. And there has to be things broken. You have to break everything sovereign, everything independent, and everything that resists this kind of new world order digital transaction. And so whatever is in the way has got to be broken by this global satanic Luciferian movement. And if there are vestiges left in the United States of resistance, the United States of America has to be taken out of the way in order for Babylon to situate itself in a more dramatic sense than we've even known it globally right now. Would you agree to that?
Absolutely, because if you notice, the banks and governments love and support those ideas. And that is true of the One World Bank all over the world. And so they're in bed with it, and they love it because they can control every penny of every individual. And by doing so, control their life, what they eat, where they go, what they do. In other words, it's Big Brother that we always heard about. It's here.
Yeah, it is. You know, there's a lot of people I know that have currencies, different currencies from around the world, whether it's the Iraqi dinar, the Zim, or the Vietnamese dong. There are people that have invested heavily in these currencies. And I am not so sure that the God of this world is just going to let a bunch of Christians have a bunch of cash to go about and do a bunch of stuff. It may be. Now, I know that God is sovereign. God is in control. But I'm sure the enemy, the adversary with his demonic intelligence, would rather get all these people cashed in, but give them little cards so that every transaction that they make, that the money they spend is digital.
Absolutely.
And that would be, again, enticing people into a system because they've been waiting for so long for these things. That's why we as Christians have to be very careful of our vulnerability to go after stuff, even at the cost of a little compromise. And that's why every one of us on a daily basis need to make sure that we are not compromising even a little bit, you know, to get things our way. Everything has to be done orderly and properly and by the grace of God. If there's any cheating going on right now, I guarantee you when it comes to millions and millions of dollars, people are going to compromise a bit more just to get what they want. But it may mean the selling of their soul to this system.
Not maybe. It will be.
Yeah. So I want to open the telephone lines right now because a friend and I were talking about a massive global earthquake. And the way that this conversation was being discussed, I thought to myself, this really needs to be on the air. We need to be talking about this. And so if my brother is out there today and you know who I'm talking about, if you would be willing at this point to just press one on your dial pad, I'll make sure to bring you into the broadcast, and we could talk a little bit about this great global earthquake, the Yellowstone volcano that would erupt, that would either be erupting because of a great earthquake or the shaking of the earth that would be due to it. So without further ado, let me bring onto the telephone lines today Pastor Ken Wagner. Good morning, Ken. How are you today, sir? God bless you and welcome to the broadcast.
Well, good morning, Pastor. Another beautiful day to get it right again. I wonder where we've heard that before. Well, you know, getting it right, that's what it's really all about. And, you know, it's a scenario that we need to be prepared because we've seen tremendous earthquakes. You gave a lot of statistics about that, and it's something that we need to be aware of. People may say, well, we got plenty of time, we got time. But when you look at everything that's going on, we don't have a lot of time. And as a result of that, I mean, if, for instance, if Yellowstone went off, well, that's going to be close enough to all of the fault lines all around California and all those areas in there as well. And they could very easily set every single one of those off. And the Yellowstone alone will be catastrophic. It will put this country in mayhem because it will cover just about the whole country with ash, and transportation will be out and gone to a large degree. Plant life will start to die because of all the clouds, the ash in the sky. It's going to be a very difficult time. But the whole thing, of course, is that we need to be ready. And as I was relating to you on there, I thought about this a little bit. People have a tendency to procrastinate quite a bit. And for instance, when I went over to Vietnam, one of the first things I thought about is, oh my God, I should have paid more attention. I should have gotten ready for what I'm up against now. But even if you look at it, I was over there for that Tet Offensive that they had. And it was a total surprise to the U.S. Army. All their intelligence didn't pick it up at all. And when they came against the armed forces that we had over there, they almost overran us. Here's a great superpower being outsmarted by an enemy, and they had no intelligence all about it. So that speaks volumes to me about what is going on today. We have all the signs there, but people are just ignoring it. And what will transpire could be something like that Tet Offensive, where the enemy can marshal all of his forces and come against all of the Christians and take over completely. Now, that may sound like a doomsday type of thing, and really is in a very real sense for Christians. But, you know, we have to be ready, and it's so important that you keep bringing these things up. People sometimes will say, oh, listen to him. He's talking about this doomsday stuff again. When's he going to get off it? And I hope you never do, because people need to wake up once and for all and begin to see and ask the Lord, what is going on? What is happening? What can I do? What do I need to go ahead and do to prepare for all these things that are coming down? Because once it hits, it's too late if you're not ready. And that's it goes in so many different ways, so many other different things I can say, but let me leave it at that for now and hear your comments.
All right. Well, very good. I appreciate that. And, you know, talking about the volcanoes, there are like five huge, massive volcanoes in the world, and Yellowstone doesn't even measure up to those. And when you talk about the active volcanoes that are going on in the world today, the Mauna Loa lava is one of the biggest, most active in the world today. So I'm not sure what the impetus is, but it's so funny. You know, we heard the Lord say, or I did several weeks ago, he put his finger to his lips and said, shh, shh. And within 2 days, that those earthquakes began to rock and roll. And when I noted the earthquakes, again, that shoe was there. Don't jump on the bandwagon. Don't start shouting out, you know, earthquake, earthquakers coming. But you know what the fact of the matter is? There have been major earthquakes since a Sunday and a half ago, along with a little minor tropical storm called Barry down in Louisiana that created a tremendous amount of problems. And, you know, there the earth itself is shaking. Again, Patricia, I get the idea that going back to Leviticus 26, that the corruption that is on this earth is causing the earth to do what it did in the days of Leviticus, vomit out the inhabitants thereof. The earth is having a violent stomach ache because of the massive corruption that's going on. We don't need military powers to do anything. God himself, in the book of Revelation, talks about something happening in the opening of that sixth seal of a great global massive earthquake that starts things for the next level of judgment. And I believe still that we are right there on the edge.
You know, what is so strange about all of this is that the New Age that I was involved in knew these things before Christians knew it, because they proclaimed that Mother Earth could not take too much abuse before it starts going back and forth, vomiting out the things of evil. Now, this was their understanding at the time. And, you know, I thought, yeah, that made sense to me. But do Christians really realize this? Because how often do we go back and read what the Bible actually says? And in the book of Revelation, it talks about earthquakes during the tribulation itself of a greater magnitude than anything the world has ever seen. And God said, I am going to shake everything that needs to be shaken. It is his doing, his allowance, because people have abused the earth and themselves. It's all about sin. It's all about sin. So he himself will allow it to be shaken and brought into a place where not only the earth is shaken, but we're shaken to the umpteenth degree. And the scriptures are always talking in those areas about earthquakes and at the end of time. In Matthew 24, in Mark 13, in Luke 21, it's called Jesus' Olivet Discourse. And the verses are there, along with earthquakes are mentioned, several other kinds of plagues, or all on humanity. And that's because you reap what you sow, folks.
Yeah, that is the truth. The telephone lines are open right now. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking about a digital economy that is being built and constructed all around us right now. And if that snare were to spring and you were to be, you know, living on this earth at the time, how are you prepared to live? Are you familiar with the bartering system? Do you know of a black market? What is it that you believe
we should be doing about what we're hearing right now. Is this a time to live for oneself, or is this a time for a community of like-minded believers to gather together their resources and begin to plan the days ahead? We have been preparing in Northwest Arkansas for a long time. We have been doing everything we know to do, and we have the understanding that we do what God tells us to do. He's going to take care of the rest. What are you doing to prepare for these end times? Now, here's a scenario, and it's possible, just like the Israelis who left Egypt to go into the wilderness where God was going to take care of them for 40 years. But before they left, there was a great transfer of wealth. And let's say that God would provide a great transfer of wealth. Let's say those currencies did revalue, and suddenly there was a massive inflow of cash into thousands of Christians across the world. What would you do with those finances? Let's say that you became a multimillionaire overnight. What would you do with your millions of dollars in the present world, remembering that by the time Babylon is at her zenith of power, she's going to be the most luxurious, delicate nation, I mean, reality in the world. It's not going to be smoke and bombs and fire. By the time the Great Tribulation begins, there will have been a lot of things wiped out, but Babylon rises to power, and we know that everybody's doing business with her. They're made rich. They're made luxurious. They live delicately. I mean, the description is not something that is evil, negative. It looks great. It must look like Sodom and Gomorrah looked like to Lot before it was destroyed. He said he saw it and it looked beautiful. So what would you do with the level of finances? And may I say right now that if you really want to judge that and you want to answer that question honestly, ask yourself what you're doing right now with what you have. What are you doing daily with what you have? Have you invested into preparing for bartering? Have you bought sugar? Have you bought different things, coffee? Have you gotten yourself some silver? Do you know a silver coin costs about 15 bucks today? For $100, you can get yourself, what, five pieces of silver, six, whatever it is, and you could have a couple of silver coins in your bartering kit. Do you have things to barter with if you're out there and you need to get from point A to point B, but you're in that system of things? Are you ready? And Patricia, I think bartering is a huge signal to the body of Christ about how things are going to get done in the days ahead.
Yes, and if you really want to get far out, we could have our own banks. I don't see any reason why the body of Christ can't come together with certain amount of finances. It's a trust issue, but listen, we have trust banks since we've been children. I mean, our parents did, and we have, and we continue in that way to this very day, and they are the most untrusting institute I know of at this point when it comes to our finances. The things they're doing, you have no clue. I'm telling you, they use your money and they do many things with it, and now hardly any interest in the banks themselves when you put it in. Now, what about us? We can bring together finances. We can make our own finances. Listen, they made it out of paper and they said this much with this amount on is what you have. And so we can charge interest in a right manner, not in a wrong manner. We can do what the world has done, only we do it with graciousness and love, because what we have and what we get, we help multitudes of people, first starting in the church, and get everything ready for those who are in need, just like they did in the book of Acts. They brought everything to the apostles' feet. Well, I'm not saying that. Actually, I think that's too difficult with the love of money that most have. But I think there could be a kingdom bank, and I think we can use it to the righteousness of God, and we can do everything the world has done only with the blessing of God. Now, I hope I'm safe in saying this, and nobody comes knocking on my door.
No, but Patricia, I'm looking at a website right now, literally called Kingdom Bank. Kingdom Bank really,
really?
Kingdom Bank is a bank with a difference. We are a Christian bank. This means that we have values that we live and work by. We genuinely care for the people we deal with, our colleagues, our customers, and our suppliers.
We also manage money well so that it will do good in our society. And then you could read for more information here.
I'm amazed.
It's literally called Kingdom Bank. And in fact, there are other banks out there that are called Christian banking. And this is a positive change from a biblical approach to banking. We know you well. We serve you even better. And it's all about their partner with Christ-centered ministries, businesses, individuals, and families to protect, grow, share their financial resources. So here's the deal. These Christian banks exist. But in the days that we're talking about, I believe there will be scattered communities of believers in different places. And I believe that what you're saying is that those scattered communities of believers ought to now, like in the book of Acts, which was brought up again in our Bible study last night by Pastor Michael, how in the book of Acts, everybody took what they had and they gathered it together. They laid it at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made as every man had need. There was a system that God had revealed to the early church on how they were going to take care of themselves and their business along the way.
That was a bank in a sense, if you really analyze how they operated and what they did. And in the bartering system, you can't go wrong. If you have something that you need and I happen to have that for certain reasons, I will be able to give that to you if you will provide to me what I need. Maybe I need salt. And you happen to have salt. You have put it aside and it's there. And perhaps what you need happens to be many, many cloths that you ran out of and you don't have anymore. I have them. Or maybe you need some coffee. I happen to save coffee. We barter, but it's going to take sincere hearts and love to do it in a loving manner, in a rightful manner, with sincere righteousness.
Wow. And every man pulling his own weight and yet everyone carrying each other's burden, which was our Bible study last night. We're waiting for your call today. The number to call is 818-369-0326. We love having community conversations on these programs because what we're doing right now is we're getting beyond just talking about what is going on. And I want you to know the people that you're listening to right now have actually done something to prepare. And I'm sure that you are one of those that have done the same thing. But now maybe the Lord is calling us to the next step. See, I believe that God's burden, God's plan, if you will, and I'm going to call it that. I believe that something God put in our hearts to do, and you know, God's a big God. We're not putting him in a box. But I believe God wants home fellowships established everywhere. And I believe he wants them in wherever God's people are like-minded. He wants home fellowships. They don't need to be big churches. Home fellowships, maybe from 7 people, 8 people to 25 people. I don't know. But in those communities, people learning to gather together and not only do life together, because we're on this earth for a short moment. It's a vapor, but we're preparing to go through something. And God is forewarning us what that something is. And we need to learn to live amongst ourselves without dependency upon the world system, because those that depend on it are going to want its conveniences and they're going to sell their soul to get what they want. We don't need to go there. So we want to start home fellowships and encourage the churches to gather together, pull their resources, plant a garden, dig a well, build some structures, get some things prepared, set aside, do some stuff together without the idea this is for me, myself, and I. It has to be an exaggerated, intense desire to take care of others before ourselves. And that is where we are trying to go, and yet we know our humanity is an issue to be overcome. But what about you? We want to hear from you. The number to call, 818-369-0326. We have a number of calls coming in right now. We'll take our first call coming in from area code 479-238. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, pastors. How are you doing today?
We're doing good. You being safe out there, Bill?
Being safe. I was at a financial seminar in Little Rock about 15 years ago, and the individual that did the seminar has 2 seats on the New York Stock Exchange, and from what I understand, that's pretty rare. Most companies only have 1. His company had 2, and he explained to us in that seminar that the world understands that there will be a transfer of wealth. And he said they understand the Bible better than the Christians. And he said what they are doing, this was 15 years ago, is they were preparing for that transfer of wealth. But what they wanted to do was they wanted to position themselves in a position where the Christians would trust them and allow them to handle their finances and do all those things. So let's digress a minute. The Kingdom Bank deal that you read. My first thought was, who's on the board of directors and what's their bona fides? In other words, who's on the board of directors of this bank and what's their experience or bona fides that tells you who they are? You know, you don't want some Jeffrey Epstein guy sitting on the board there, you know, and not know it. You know, this guy might have a big name, you know, like Tom Steyer. Oh, well, he's a billionaire out in California. Yeah, he's a far-right leftist, you know, and the whole bit. So we have to be watchful. We have to use wisdom, insight, and understanding when we look at all this, because he said that the world will dress up as sheep to get our money when that transfer comes. So I'll go ahead and listen to your response, Pastor. Have a blessed day.
Thank you very much. Yeah, what is being said here is that we have to be careful who's on the board of directors, is what our caller is saying, that we don't want to just have a Christian bank in name, but there are wolves dressed in sheep's clothing on the board of directors. The right thing, the right system in the book of Acts was the apostles became the board of directors, if you will. Patricia, your thoughts?
Absolutely. There has to be righteousness involved. There's no doubt about it. It was 25 years ago that we were talking about these last days. In my living room, we were discussing it. And what happened then was the Lord put it on my heart that there should be no difficulties, no problems. We can have our own bank, and we could operate in a manner which is honest, sincere, and right. And those that are part of ours has to do with who is involved in our lives. Very simple. And so I would be the director.
You would be the director. Well, I think you'd be a great director.
Well, the Lord put it on my heart 25 years
ago. Yeah, the way that you handle things. Let's take our next call coming from South Dakota. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Question.
Good morning, Kathy. Yes.
Yeah, the scripture in the Bible that speaks about someday that people will cast their silver and their gold in the street. Now, what is, I believe, this is my opinion, that the day will come when that scripture will be fulfilled is when the food source is gone. It don't matter how much gold or silver you have, but at the beginning, we'll be able to use this, like that other gentleman was saying, during this transfer of wealth, because it'll be all of the monetary system will use this to deflate the dollar, and that's when your gold and silver will have value. But also, as we progress into this, the day will come, it don't matter, you can eat silver and gold, but it will be the food that will be the thing that will have the wealth. And then above all, when we get into the very end, and now we're starting to see some of this happening, it will be calling on God, and we'll have multiplication of even our food source.
Yeah, you bring up an excellent point. What I'm hearing immediately is a food bank. And what we did here in Arkansas was we had a thrift store. And the purpose of the thrift store is that people would give donations. We would sell those things. We would purchase food. And then we fed the people that were less fortunate. We fed over 60,000 families, 60,000 in just 2 years, right here in little old Northwest Arkansas. And so a food bank, a commodity, a food, water, yes, those are the important things. Patricia?
Yes. Speaking of the bartering system, bartering system has been used for centuries and long before money was invented. And all it has to do is to be sure you're dealing with honest people. And you know that by the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we have to realize regarding gold and silver is that they will be used for military weapons and other things of that sort. And so it's going to be absolutely necessary till the end.
Well, amen to that. And I know that my end time ministry is
and then
getting
we throw it out.
Yeah, my end time ministry is a street sweeper, and they cast their gold and silver. I go behind, I pick it up, because I know the gold and silver is mine, saith the Lord. So it's God's currency, and I'm going to make sure that we
sweep that all up while they're throwing it in, because salvation's not in gold or silver, but it is something that God created at the very beginning of time. It belongs to him. We have some form of use, but yes, the food, water, on a more serious note, is what we need to be thinking about. We've simply run out of time. Tomorrow we're going to culminate. We're going to bring an end to this conversation we've had for 2 weeks. Hopefully you'll join us then. Right now at omegaradio.org, a roundtable discussion is going on where a lot of this kind of talk is taking place. Get ready, folks. We're in for the ride of our lifetime. We'll see you tomorrow. Shalom and God bless.